2 Timothy, you remain standing. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's in the New Testament there, Brother Bob. 2 Timothy chapter 3.
It's after Psalms.
Right after Psalms. Just keep looking. There you go. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 12 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. We'll read these responsibly. I'll read the even verses. You'll read the odd verses out loud with me, and we'll pause at any punctuation. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. The Bible says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." And let's pray. God, we do thank you so much for the Bible. Thank you, God, for your holy word that we get to read, we get to hold on to. Lord, I thank you for those that have died and have been martyrs, Lord, so that we can have this Bible. Lord, I ask you, please continue to bless, Lord. Would you bless the service this morning, bless as we sing. And Lord, as the preacher preaches, Lord, would you just help our hearts to be open, keep the distractions away. And Lord, would you just help us to be able to receive what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Keep your Bibles open to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to use them in a minute. But I want you to look at me for a moment and listen to me. I want to talk to you for a moment, and then we'll jump into the truth. We're kind of laying a foundation right now. No human can tell you the future. Because we're sinners, we want to see the end before we see the beginning, though. Do you ever notice somebody will say something, you'll think, okay, but where's this going? I want to see the end of it before I agree if I'm going to get into this. Well, when you got into life, you couldn't see the end. You could just see the beginning. And as sinners, because we're all sinners, it's probably a good thing we didn't see the end at the beginning. Because most of us wouldn't have wanted to go through what we've gone through. Make sense? Most people, if you're over the age of 30 right now, your life did not turn out the way you planned yet. If you're over the age of 50, you really know it didn't turn out the way you planned it. You say why? Because as sinners, that end keeps changing. And it's not a pre-structured thing. God didn't wind the world up and it's happening exactly the way he designed. Don't you think a perfect God could do a whole lot better? God didn't wind this thing up and everything takes place exactly the way he planned. That's not what the scripture says. Now, listen to me carefully here. We read in verse 13, if you look at it, 2 Timothy chapter 3. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, I hate to tell you something, but have you noticed? Life isn't getting better and better. Society and the world is not getting better and better. God said that in these end days that these evil people will cause the world to get worse and worse. Yeah, hang on. Now, hang on for a second here. I'm going somewhere. I will address that in a moment. But as the day approaches that Jesus' return, he said that the days would get worse and worse. we're not to be doing good based on results. We're to be doing good because it's right to do. The doing of good does not necessitate the world getting better, but it does make us right for doing the good. You see, no matter the results, we're supposed to obey.
Yes, sir.
It's that old illustration I use a lot. When I was a kid, my dad, sitting right back there, he'd say, "Take the trash out." There's nothing worse than a kid having to take the trash out in August when it's 100 degrees out. It's maggot infested. It smells worse than your brother's socks. And you got to drag that thing from the back to the front. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And I'd say, now, there's times I would probably voice my opposition to it, and my dad would say, "You got one choice. You do it with a whipping or without a whipping. You choose." Now, Mama didn't raise two fools, just my brother, so I chose without. Say, why? No sense in taking a whipping and still got to do it. Just go do it and complain about it outside. Gag and barf in the bucket and be done, amen? But I want you to notice, it didn't get better and better. It got worse and worse. Now watch this. God says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou." I want you to notice what God said we should do. He said, "Continue thou." He didn't make it a request. "Well, if y'all feel like it, you could do this." No, God said, "I want you to do something. I want you to continue what you're supposed to do." Doesn't matter the end result, continue doing what I've commanded you. I wish. By the way, did you realize that in Genesis chapter 8, that only 8 people got on the ark? But Noah continued thou. Noah continued doing what God said, no matter how many didn't get on. The end result does not determine what we do. It is the obedience that God wants. I wished I could tell you that on November 5th, it will mean great victory in America for truth and right. But I can't promise that. I can't promise it at every level. Not sure we can promise it at any level. But may I say something? I have great hope. You say, "How much of the news do you believe, preacher?" Zero. I told somebody yesterday, I said, "Whatever the liberal says, believe the opposite, and that's the truth." Doesn't matter what area they're liberal in. I have great hope for America. You cut me, I bleed red, white, and blue. I think it's beyond American what our public school system is doing. They're sending forms home now for parents to sign whether their child can stand for the Pledge of Allegiance or not. It will be a cold day where the booger man lives before I let anybody sit down while we're doing the Pledge of Allegiance. You don't like it, I'll slap you till you stand up.
Amen.
After we're done pledging, then we can go to fists. But you ain't going to sit on your backside during the national anthem or the Pledge of Allegiance in my presence. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Say why? Because I believe in America.
Amen.
I believe in respect. One nation under God, not everybody doing that which is right in their own eyes.
Amen.
By the way, God made two genders, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Amen.
It wasn't to be determined. Now, I can't promise you that everything is going to go well. I can't promise you that it'll be fair or right. But no matter the results, I'm not going to be in despair. Everybody understand? Come November 6th, I'm not going to have the poochy lip disease.
I can't believe it.
Folks, our hope is not in the White House, it's in the church house. Our hope is not in a politician, it's in God.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? So, but preacher, that means if the conservatives don't win, we're that much closer to the rapture. Bless God, I have mixed emotions right now. My hope is in Jesus Christ, not any stupid election. Now, I will say this. You don't vote, keep your mouth shut. You don't have the right to complain if you don't vote. You didn't do anything about it to fix it. This message is brought to you by Bob Kellerman. Put it down, Bob. Let me do the preaching, all right? My hope is only in this place. Could that be appropriate? My hope is not in Republicans or Democrats or rhinoceroses. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness.
Amen.
I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name.
Amen.
My hope isn't in politics, it's in God. But may I say something? Come victory or defeat politically, I plan to obey God and continue vow.
Amen.
Did you know that November 6th, Grace Baptist Church will be the same as it was on November 5th?
Amen.
Not changing anything. But preacher, what if God said, continue thou?
Amen.
But I don't know about you, that does not look like a question to me. When my dad said, you'll do this or else, that wasn't a question. The era I grew up in meant he didn't speak twice. He walked softly and carried a big stick and knew how to swing it. Amen? You say, well, that's warping somebody's psyche. He warped it, but he didn't call it a psyche. It doesn't look like God made a suggestion that we're to keep on going. He said, continue thou. Now, look at it again, verse 12. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Well, somebody said something that hurt my feelings. Oh, God bless you. Let me come here and burp you. Well, we don't want to offend anybody. I'm so tired of that word. Makes me want to vomit. I'm tired of God getting offended. I'm tired of liberals having a bigger mouth than people that have the right truth. The problem today is not how loud the bad is, it's how quiet the good is. You realize that less than 1% of our population is the alphabet soup crowd, and yet all of our politics is trying to force it on the rest of the 99%. Our democratic republic, not our democracy, our democratic republic is at stake. They want to use the word democracy to get you to socialism and communism. You don't even know your own terminology. Everybody doing okay? God said, continue thou. But preacher, how are we going to make it? We're going to continue thou. Well, how do we continue? Glad you asked. God gave us the answer. Number one, are you ready? God says, continue in the things thou hast learned. Now everybody look at me. Most of you hated English grammar. One of the parts of speech is a verb. That's the word that shows action in a sentence. The word hast is in the past tense. That means you have learned.
It's in the past. God said to continue thou in the things you have already learned that are right.
Yes, sir.
When November 6th hits, we're supposed to continue what we did on November 5th and November 4th and November 3rd. Well, preacher, you're just so old-fashioned. Thank you very much. Well, I didn't mean it as a compliment. Too late. Already took it that way. Nah, 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 nah. I'm tired of newfangled Christianity.
Amen.
I'm tired of wokeism in Christian churches.
Amen.
I'm tired of the world in churches. God said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I'm old enough to remember there was a day when America feared God. Now the church is more worldly than the world was 50 years ago. Everybody doing okay? I'm not afraid to say it. By the way, the problem hasn't been the politics, it's been the pussyfooting preachers. Got too much lace on their underwear and afraid to stand up and offend somebody with the truth. Well, you found one, doesn't wear any lace anywhere. Thank God. Continue thou in the things thou hast learned. That means this. God didn't change his mind on what he said about the word of God. We don't need a new Bible. We need to reread and relive the old one. God didn't change his mind because, well, preacher, it's 2024. I'm glad you know the date of the year. Maybe come back tonight and you can figure out what time it is. I don't care what year it is. God said, continue thou.
Amen.
Do you think God's interested in these churches that have changed? I just heard this week, I don't know how true it is because I don't listen to a whole lot of this garbage, but I was told that the Pope said that abortion's going to be okay and marrying sodomites is okay.
Right.
Welcome to the great whore of Revelation. Everybody doing okay? I hate to tell you something, just because you got a $500,000 grapefruit on your head doesn't make you God. It doesn't. This means we're not to change God's commands whether we think it's right or not. Folks, the Bible says his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. Do you think God cares what your opinion is? Then why do you feel like you got to express it to everybody and tell everybody what your opinion is? We've been social mediaizing so much that we think our opinion matters. Well, I hate to tell you something. When I was a child, my opinion didn't matter. It's what Dad said. It's what Mom said. Well, Dad said in his book right here, continue thou. Say, well, you said there, yeah, those are God's words, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. Dad said. We don't need to change God's message, nor do we change God's methods. Even though the world's getting worse and worse. Used to be a day that churches were open Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Now you're lucky if they're open for Sunday morning. Well, folks, we have Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We're not changing it.
Amen.
Say what? Because we need more preaching, not less. Hebrews chapter 10. Stay out of my preaching. Might take me longer to recall it because there's more up there than what's in yours. Did you know that God didn't change what he said because of people not wanting to get on the ark with Noah? Do you know that God did not change what he said
even though Sodom and Gomorrah were steeped in their filth. God didn't change what was right because of what society says. And I'm sick and tired of Christians wanting to please society. How about we work at pleasing God and let society deal with itself? Let God be true and every man a liar, the scripture says. Just because people don't receive the truth doesn't mean we're to change the way we do it or change what the truth is. Well, we have a new ministry at our church. You have churches that have quit soul winning so that they can hook up a telephone and call people or text people or email people. They call that their evangelism. God said, go door to door, house to house, person to person. Bless God, it's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before we ever stop knocking on doors. And no HOA is going to stop me. Well, it said no trespassing. I'm not trespassing. It says no soliciting. Soul winning is not soliciting. I've checked with the police again, and it's not soliciting. As long as you don't receive money, you're not soliciting. But the public schools can enforce child labor laws and have the kids go out and sell candy bars for the school. That's soliciting. And child labor. Just thought I'd throw it out there. You know, God said, continue thou in the things thou hast learned. Now watch this. How do you know that it's the Bible, preacher? Look at verse 15. Start back in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Notice the punctuation. Semicolon. That's not the end of the sentence. The sentence continues. And that from a child thou hast known the holy what? Scriptures. That's talking about the Bible. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. God is talking about the Bible. Children need taught the word of God. Not stories, they need taught the word of God. Children ought to memorize the scriptures. Adults ought to memorize the scriptures. Everybody doing okay? The scriptures. Do you realize I was talking about the Old Testament too? When Jesus quoted scripture, he's quoting the Old Testament and he whipped the devil with it. I guess the Old Testament's good enough for us too, isn't it? Yeah. Well, Old Testament's law, New Testament's grace. Whoever taught you that doesn't know their Bible. You won't find that in the Bible. Nobody was ever saved by the law. The universal law is the law of sin and death, not the Ten Commandments. That's civil law. That's the Constitution. Not the Levitical law. That was the enforcement of the Constitution. That was politics. It wasn't the moral law because that's how men were supposed to treat and people were to treat each other. Sanitation, et cetera, et cetera. None of those things had anything to do with going to heaven. It was how a nation was supposed to function. It was the nation of Israel. Then what was the law? The law of sin and death. We're born sinners and we deserve death. But Jesus came and conquered the law of sin and death, grabbed the keys of the kingdom of death and hell and resurrected with them and said, ha, got the keys, y'all follow me. Amen. That means this. Truth is truth no matter who says it's not. Amen. Can I tell you why churches are changing? Because they change truth. They want their M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E Bible. They want the Good News for Bad Monkeys Bible. They want the Reader's Digest condensed version. They want the NIV, the NKJV. They want the RSV. And for the new rainbow people, they want the HIV Bible. Can I tell you something? We don't need man's versions. We need the one God gave us. We don't need churches getting cute. Now I'm going to step on some stuff. We don't need high-tech church services to reach today's generation. We don't need giant screens and follow the bouncy ball. We don't need to sing songs that have no meaning, that just say the same words over and over. No music, just words, and everybody does this, singing the same thing and doing this and doing. Ay, ay, ay. What a bunch of garbage. We don't need TED Talks, we need preaching. Did everybody hear what I just said? We don't need motivational speeches, we need preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 says this, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Verse 25 says this, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things in this world to, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Bless God, Brother Barnes and Brother Aaron were with me at the rescue mission last Friday night. I got up and preached for about 20 minutes, and seven men raised their hand and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. By the foolishness of preaching, not sitting down, having a TED Talk. Everybody doing all right? Yesterday, I sat down in your brother's living room. Neighbors came. We talked and talked and talked and talked for a while. And they didn't know they were going to heaven. And opened up my Bible. Walked them down what the scripture says and watched them both bow their head and trust Jesus Christ as a Savior. Amen. Now wait a minute. If we'd have done it the way the world does it these days, those folks would die and go to hell. Somebody's got to tell them. By the way, they were in tears. Brother Aaron can verify this. They said, nobody's ever taken the Bible and made it that plain for us before. Nobody's ever showed us truth like this before. And I wanted to say, I'm sorry. I can't help preachers don't preach the truth anymore, but it's right there. It's all Bible. Not my words, it's God's words. Look, if God can take a little nut from Ohio, a Buckeye, me, and use me for 44 years of preaching, guess what? God taking the foolish things to confound the wise. You're looking at a kid that would fail every oral book report because he wouldn't get up and talk in front of people. That's me. I know you don't believe it, but it's true. Now you wished I could find some of that. I mean, we don't need new. We need to go back to the things which thou hast learned. America doesn't need new things. We need to go back to the original intent and go back to the Constitution. We don't need new laws. We need to enforce the old laws. We don't need new definitions. We need to go back to what the definitions were when it was written. We don't need a new Bible. We need to go back to the old one and get a hold of the old Holy Spirit and the old fashioned ways and the old paths and do it God's way, not man's way. So continue in the things thou hast learned. Number two. He also says, I love this. And, oh my soul, continue thou in things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Brother Steve, God said he's given us some promises in his book. Continue in them. Continue in them. That means this. If God said it so, it's going to happen. Say, well, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. But if God said it so, it's so. People doubted that Jesus would be born for thousands of years. God predicted the city. God predicted the place. God predicted his name. Guess what? Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger. I guess if God could keep his promise that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem's manger, don't you think he could keep his other promises too?
Amen.
What promises are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the rapture.
Amen.
One of these days, Jesus is coming back. And we're going to blow this popsicle stand. He is coming back for the saved. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians that the dead in Christ shall rise first. You say, why? Because they're 6 feet deeper than we are. They need a little head start. Amen. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. At that time, the Antichrist will rise. There'll be 7 years of tribulation here on earth. 3.5 years of peace. One world system. They'll have a one world government. One world monetary system. And the leader will be the Antichrist himself. Then the last 3.5 years, all of hell will be unleashed by God on earth. 21 judgments in 36 months. I'm sorry, 42 months. About every other month, there'll be another judgment. Every 8 weeks. Think through that for a second. Imagine the cataclysmic judgment upon earth. It'll end at a place called Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo. During that 7 years, we're not here, folks. No sense in worrying about it. We're not here. We're going to be in heaven, marriage feast of the Lamb, and getting our rewards for how we lived our life down here on earth, getting our rank. Because when we come back, Jesus is coming back, and we're all going to be on white horses. Bless God. Mine's going to be a Mustang. We're going to be on these white horses. Can I tell you something? Jesus, with the sword of his mouth, which is the word of God, will defeat the enemy. In the valley of Megiddo, the great army of the east, which is China and the Middle East, will be there. And the bear from the north, which is Russia, and Gog and Magog, which is Moscow and Germany and Europe, they'll all converge there in that valley. And God himself will kill them to where the blood will be to the bridle of the horse. 4 to 5 feet deep for hundreds of square miles. The Bible says that every creature shall have so much that they can't even get rid of the carcasses. God will put down the Antichrist and lock the devil in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and Jesus will sit on the seat of David in the palace in Jerusalem and will rule and reign this earth for 1,000 years, and guess who the government gets to be? That's us.
Amen.
I've asked God for the panhandle. I'm going to make some permit people clean septic tanks with their own toothbrush. I'm going to make them get a permit first. Forgive me. I'll tell you something, that's a promise from God. Did you know that if you're saved, a promise of God is that when you take your last breath here, you wake up in heaven?
Amen.
To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hey, last Thursday afternoon, April, you were there. Rena was seeing things we weren't seeing. She was talking to folks that hadn't been here in an awful long time. She was getting glimpses of heaven. Miss Osie was doing that. I've been with folks and, man, they're, do you see him? See who? It's Jesus. Nope, I believe you do, but Tim, I said, hi. I've been there. Did you know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord?
Yes, sir.
How could we cry over that? 4 years ago this coming December, my mama went to heaven. I miss her. Yes. Every day I miss her. But do you think I'd want her back suffering the way she was suffering? Uh-uh, not after 4 years in heaven. She'd slap me upside both sides of my head. I'm going to preach a sermon one of these days. The maddest man in the Bible. It had to be Lazarus. Think about it. Lazarus was dead for 3 days and three nights, and they brought him back from the dead. Don't you think he was mad at his sisters? Not only did he get pulled away from heaven, but he had to die again. Think through that for a second, man. I'd be upset. Why couldn't you just let me alone? Did you know that there's also a promise that those that die without Christ die and go to hell? That ought to move us to get the gospel out. Did you know that Jesus is coming back at the rapture? Did you know that there will be one day a great white throne judgment for those that are lost? They'll receive their eternal punishment and be sent to death in hell for eternity. Every promise in the book. The things that thou hast been assured of. Bless God, if you're saved, every one of your sins has been forgiven. Past, present, and future. Under the blood. You can't lose your salvation. Say why? Because you've been born again, not by the flesh and blood, but by the Spirit of God. And you can't be unborn from your mama and daddy. So, well, what if you do something real bad? You can do something real bad, you're still your parents' child. You can't be unborn. And you can't be unborn again. Everybody doing all right? By the way, these aren't myths. They're the promises of God. Amen. Remember, God said the world would say, oh, it's just foolishness. Oh, you Christians are weak. You got to lean on a Bible. Well, they got to lean on a bottle of beer. They got to lean on drugs. They got to lean on their weak brain. Mind over matter. If they don't have a mind, it doesn't matter. You know, why are we so worried about what the world thinks anyway? It might seem bleak now, but can I tell you something? Jesus is coming. Amen. And what God said is going to happen. Did you know? I love this statement. I heard this from an old preacher. Did you know that before war breaks out, they send the ambassadors home? They're sent from the foreign country to home. Well, my Bible says that the saved are ambassadors for Christ. Yes, and before the war breaks out, we're going to get sent home. Amen. I love it. I love it. I love it. Say, when's it going to happen, preacher? In the twinkling of an eye. No man knows the hour nor the day. Can't tell you, but I can tell you this. I know we're 2,024 years closer than we were before. Everybody doing okay? Number three, and I'll finish. Not only are we to continue in the things thou hast learned, not only are we to continue in the things that we have been assured of, but we're to continue with those who have taught the truth along the way. It says in verse number 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and which hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Of whom thou hast learned them. Can I tell you something? If you learned it from the Word of God or a man of God that was preaching the Word of God the right way, it's true. It's true. You know, I hate to be quite so simple, but did you know that the devil and the world are nothing but a bunch of liars? Matter of fact, God said that the devil is the father of all lies. That means he's the father of the news media. Can I tell you something? Why do we worry about being accepted by liars? When we have the truth, just proclaim the truth. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. See, well, they don't believe it. That's their problem. We're just supposed to tell the truth. Well, I, preacher, I've told the truth, but they're just not getting it. So maybe we ought to try a different way. Just keep hammering the truth. It amazes me, and maybe I shouldn't use this illustration, but if this is you, I'm not pointing my finger at you, but I'm pointing my finger at you. Folks, there's nobody in America today that ought to be smoking a stupid cigarette. It's a cancer stick. You suck it in, destroy your life, and cut it short. Common sense says, why in the world would you suck cancer down? If a bunch of people got the flu and threw up this week and I brought a bucket of vomit here, who's going to drink out of it? Well, preacher, I don't want to do that. I'm going to get sick. Yeah, then why would you suck down something as bad as a cancer stick? Or put illegal drugs in your veins? Or suck alcohol down? You see what I'm saying? That's common sense. That's not even scripture. I could take you to the scripture for all of that. But the devil seems to get us. Well, there are people that are addicted to a 3-inch piece of paper with dried out weeds rolled up in it. And that's more important to you than the Holy Spirit of God. Everybody doing okay? We need to stay with the old truth. Not what they call new truth. Did you know when I was a kid, they were changing education? FDR started it. Started all the way back in the 30s with FDR. He brought in evolution and changing science. And he said, we'll never have true equality in America till we have economic equality. That's socialism. The New Deal wouldn't pass. They tried 3 times with the Supreme Court. Couldn't get it to pass. And they asked FDR, and he was trying to get more judges put on the Supreme Court that he could appoint so that he could pass the New Deal. Sound familiar with what they wanted to do with? I was going to say our current president, but we don't have one. Now, listen to me very carefully here. You take the New Deal and put it up against the Communist Manifesto and compare it one day, and it's almost word for word. Point for point. Look it up. Greatest generation in the 1930s and or in the 1940s that won World War II reared the worst generation in American history. The Vietnam protesters and the hippies and the drug addicts and the sex fiends were the children of the greatest generation. Can tell you why? Well, we don't want our kids to face what we face, so we're going to give them everything they want. And look at where we're at today. It's time we get back to the old black book. The old way. God's way. Now listen to me very quickly and I'm done. We don't need psychology. We need God. Now, I'm not saying there are not some people that don't need help with things medically that affect people's minds. You've got PTSD, you've got bipolar, other things. Those are real issues. And you ought to listen to the people that can help you get your chemicals under control. I get that. But it's like anything else, we can abuse it. And you say, well, I can do it myself. You're not real smart. We don't need more psychology, we need more Bible. I'm sick and tired of pastors who said, well, I'm going to quit counseling and I'm going to send my people to professionals and they can go to a quote-unquote Christian psychologist. Do us a favor, resign your church and get an honest job. You heard this statement yesterday, Brother Aaron. That couple looked at me and they said, we've never known anybody that knows the Bible like you do. How sad. I said, please don't take this the wrong way. I ought to know it better than anybody. That's what my job is. They said, well, you got a good point there. But I heard on the local Christian radio station a couple of years ago, a pastor got on there and said, you know, I decided I was going to read my Bible all the way through for in a year for the first time ever and got through it this year. A pastor had never read through the Bible in a year himself as a pastor. I thought, I feel sorry for his church. I'd be ashamed of myself. Be doing okay? We don't need to fiddle with the Bible. We don't need to fiddle with psychology. I'm not a psychologist, thank God. Some of those people are nuts. I have a booklet on death. It's a sermon that I preached here at our church. We've helped thousands of people with it. Can I tell you why? It's the Bible. It's not psychology. Psychologists tell you you have to grieve. God said, don't add grief to your sorrow. God said grieving is something you put on yourself that you shouldn't have to go through. It's a judgment. Everybody doing okay? Well, there's the 12 steps of grief or the 8 or 10 steps of grief. Yeah, that's psychology. That's man studying man. How about the Bible? The God that created man can tell you how to get through it a whole lot better than some other stupid other man. Amen. Maybe we ought to get back to listening to the old timers. We don't need the newfangled things. Say, preacher, do you listen to preaching? Yes, I do. Who do you listen to? The old timers that are dead, that I grew up on. Say, why? I even listened to some of the generations before me. Say, why? Because I know their ministry beginning to end, and where they ended up is where I want to be. And if it was good enough to get them in our country to where it was, guess what? It's good enough to carry us forward. Continue thou. But continue thou. Why? But preacher, yeah, God said it's going to get worse and worse. Grace Baptist Church, it's going to get worse and worse. But it shouldn't change our doing of right. Continue thou. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I'd like to go for a couple more hours. Continue thou. It's hard to continue if you've never trusted Christ. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm 100% sure I've been saved. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I know I'd go to heaven if I died. Do you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. I will never embarrass anybody just like I didn't embarrass you. Do you say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. I'll not call your name. I'll not ask you to. I would never embarrass you. But you say, preacher, that's me. I don't know that for sure, but I'd like to know that. Do you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores of hands. You may put them down. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, in a moment we'll stand and the piano will begin to play. When that happens, if you don't know for sure, you come forward. We'll take the Bible and show you how you could know for sure. By the way, nobody's going to laugh at you. Nobody's going to look down at you. Matter of fact, they're going to rejoice. You raised your hand and said, preacher, the Lord's touched my heart about something. How about you come to an old-fashioned altar like this and kneel and pray? If you've been saved and never baptized, baptism doesn't take you to heaven. It just makes you right with the Lord. We could take care of it. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion, want to join Grace Baptist Church, you come. We'll put you on the church roll and on we go.